You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to Thursday. Great to have all of you here as we get ready for the women's Final Four tomorrow night, the men's on Saturday, and a lot of college football news as well. Let's get started right now before we get to your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And Hugh Freeze believes he can win it all at Auburn. Hugh Freeze certainly knows the right things to say. Whether he has the team or not is an open-ended question. How about LSU baseball? Dylan Cruz is the dude at the center of college baseball's best team. We will see them later on as they get ready for one of the biggest weekends, one of the biggest games of the year, the biggest series of the year against Tennessee, last year's number one all year long. That game is on ESPNU later tonight. Meanwhile, in Houston has the men's Final Four. Dallas is where the women's Final Four is, and they are ready to go tomorrow night, and we'll go out there in a few minutes and get you ready. Aaliyah Boston, the big star from South Carolina, but the biggest star may be Caitlin Clark. She's the AP National Player of the Year. She has just been compared to Steph Curry, and you have Elizabeth Kitley from Tech, and of course Angel Reese from LSU. It is a star-studded Final Four. Yesterday, it happened again on Capitol Hill. The House holding a hearing. Once again, a swing and a miss here on the opening day of the baseball season. We'll talk about it with some people, as well as one of the main witnesses yesterday will join us later in our program. Your phone call is next at 855-242-7285. Let's begin with Dwayne, who emerged too late for the caller bracket, but maybe the early favorite going into next year. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, man, hey, what you drinking now, Wild Turkey? Hey, let me tell you something. Mr. Paul Feinbaum, you talking about Jimbo Fisher. Let's talk about Jimbo Fisher. You want to highlight Jimbo Fisher yesterday. Hey, we played Jimbo, remember, Coach Ed Odron way down there before we won the national championship?
Huh? Hey, Dwayne, all I know is this. LSU played Texas A&M, yeah. Jimbo Fisher kicked Brian Kelly from one end of that place to the next. So don't give me about Ed Ogeron or anybody else. We're talking about the present, not the past.
Hey. And Lane Kiffin told him last year he had a bunch of fireballs running around. They didn't know what they do, huh? After Lane Kiffin beat him, huh? Let me tell you something, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Jimbo Fisher been there for 4 or 5 years. He ain't win nothing yet. He ain't been nowhere to no championship game. He ain't do nothing yet. If he don't beat Nick Saban this year, he out of there. He gone. Let people be ready to get rid of him now.
No, then,
now, what you say
Dwayne,
about that?
Dwayne, I hate to start off on such a contrarian way, but you don't know what you're talking about, okay? You have
Fisher.
No idea what you're talking about.
No, they're,
I mean, they still owe him. They will still owe him about $70 million bucks.
That don't mean nothing.
Really?
That don't mean nothing. $70 million don't mean nothing. The people got money.
Well, I agree. They have a lot of money, but I don't know too many college programs that are willing to write a check. And by the way, I don't know if you majored in math at Harvard, but. You pay $75 million, and then you have to get another coach for about 40 or 50. That's a lot of bread.
People are going to get rid of Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher come back with a 5-7 record. What you say about that?
Huh? I don't know.
He's going to come back with a 5-7 record this year. You think the people are going to get rid of Jimbo Fisher?
Well, they might think about it.
They'll think about it. Put Jimbo Fisher out of that, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. I'll tell you about leave that.
Let's not worry about Jimbo Fisher. Let's worry about your LSU Tigers, okay?
You guys, last year, you lost to LSU
to Florida State. Hey, were you at the Tennessee game, by the way? Any chance? Catch that game?
We won that game the last second.
A 30-point game.
If we made that field goal, you fumbled the opening kickoff, and then
what happened? Georgia beat you by 20 or 30, and then A&M beat you.
A&M beat us because Jimbo Fisher was under the hot seat. We wasn't prepared for A&M. Them boys went up there. We wasn't prepared for A&M. But the A&M ain't gonna beat us no more. I bet you that they ain't gonna beat us no more. You know what I'm saying? Like that woman told you yesterday, we got 5 offensive linemen coming back. We got the defensive line. We got the best linebacker. We moved him to middle now. He's the middle linebacker now, Perkins. And we got another 5 defensive back coming back. Now, we got that boy from Texas A&M, Terrence Harrison. He transferred to LSU. He was a 5-star. And he transferred to LSU. Now, let's talk about some football then. Huh?
Dwayne, thank you. Be well. Rigo is up next in College Station. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. I tell you what, Dwayne has no idea what he's talking about. Them Aggies are going to kick LSU's butt year after year because of the students and players that we bring in, year out. Harold Perkins, all those boys, none of them could do nothing against the Aggies last year. And you said it yourself, Mr. Feinbaum. You said it yourself. We just got to wait for the Longhorns to come into the SEC, and then we do the same thing to them.
Exactly. Hey, thank you very much, Rigo. You be well. You take care of yourself. Phil is up next in the ATL. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Paul. Hey, before I dive into the reason for my call, I just wanted to say how much I really enjoy the show. I mean, you've been around for years, and I've been listening to you for years, and you've actually turned me into primarily a college football fan with a secondary interest now in the pros, as opposed to the other way around, which is how I lived most of my life before meeting you. I got to say, the patience and the grace that you extend to some of your callers literally puts me to shame. I mean, I don't see how you can do that, frankly. But now the reason for my call, I'm a 72-year-old pastor of 46 years, and there are two observations I've been dying to insert into the Jim from Tuscaloosa conversation, if you don't mind.
Certainly, Pastor.
Jim makes a big deal out of distinguishing the difference between the way he's obligated to treat a fellow believer versus anybody else. For example, he likes to reference the call not to label a brother, quote-unquote, a fool, but it's a distinction without a difference, to be honest with you. I mean, the whole tenor of the New Testament teaches us not to return evil for evil, not to curse, but to bless those who persecute us. In fact, if you were to look at Romans 12, I mean, it totally shuts down that distinction that he likes to make. And the example of Jesus himself, who when he was reviled did not revile again, that alone undermines his knee-jerk retaliatory style of communication. So it's obvious to me there's a lot more going on for him than what is on the surface. But second, is it possible that when God spoke to Jim, remember that, and told him not to call the show and talk football?
Yes.
Is it possible that he misunderstood the message? From my perspective, God would have been telling him to stop calling the show, period, assuming God really did speak to him. Anyway, I mean, those two things.
Yeah, Phil, you've given me so many things to ask you, and I mean, you're a learned person, but help me if maybe I'm mischaracterizing this, but it does seem that sometimes his beliefs more resemble Old Testament than New Testament. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, it could be, but there was even loving your enemies in the Old Testament, which is a misnomer. Many people don't understand. Not, it's true that there was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
I was more thinking, I mean, Jim is more of an eye for an eye guy than he is a love everyone.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's definitely kind of leaning heavily on the truth wrath side rather than the love and grace side. There's no question about that. So, yeah, I would totally concur. But, you just can't help but think there's just something else going on there in terms of his chemistry, biology, whatever.
I have tried very hard over the years to talk to him, I don't know about the Temple on the Mount conversation or anything else, but I do wonder though, speaking to you, I feel more comfortable saying this than to someone else about a conversation with God and why it would be why the Almighty would say don't talk about sports any longer, as if there's something inherently forbidden about that.
Yeah, no, I don't. That makes no sense to me at all. You know, I don't doubt that he had some kind of experience.
Sure.
And it may well have been the voice of the Holy Spirit. I feel, like some people just can't get past the trauma of past life stuff, and they just get stuck. And, the risk of kind of mixing theology and psychology here, it's undeniable.
Happens every day.
We're complex creatures, we're body, soul, and spirit. So, I mean, there's stuff going on, I would suspect, and I feel for him. I got to tell you, man, it grates on my nerves after a while. I'm like, this guy just continually misrepresents. One of the most strong distinctives of Christ-like character is a determination. In fact, one person suggested, one scholar that I look up to, suggested that the real evidence of true faith in Christ is the spontaneous love of your enemies,
right,
which to me is beyond me. Only by the grace of God could anyone ever experience that. But what Jim, it just continually demonstrates the opposite of that. And that, it just, I hate to see our faith just in that way misrepresented so constantly by his knee-jerk reaction and anger. I guess I did cover that earlier. That was my second thing, was about the voice from God thing. Yeah, I did get that covered there.
Phil, this has been truly an enlightening call for us, all of us. I'll speak for myself, but I'll include the rest of the audience. I hope you'll call again. This was very comforting to me.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you. And again, I have to tell you, you do exercise a lot of restraint, I tell you. So keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Phil. You be well.
I enjoy the laughter. I enjoy the laughter as well. I enjoy the whole package. It's like I get informed, I get inspired. It's my kind of an outlet for me, and I listen to you almost 100% on the podcast. So
sure,
every now and then a conversation will get cut off or whatever, but it is, I just had to call in today. So thanks.
Phil, you be well. Thank you very much. A pastor there of nearly 50 years. And again, I don't want to come down too hard on the person he was referring to, but that's the second or third person who is a clergyman of some sort who has completely shot down Jim's philosophy on everything. And so when he waddles in here occasionally, speaking about Christianity and other things, then I am going to, I know we're taught to turn the other cheek. I'm simply going to turn the other ear from now on. We'll take a short break. Coming back with more.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Nicole Auerbach joining us in a few minutes. Meanwhile, we'll update you on the caller bracket, but there is an upset brewing that will let you in on one of the top seeds is way down early on in his current match, and that is in the Ted Williams division, if that gives you any clue. We'll update you on that later in the program. Right now, Mike is in Houston. Hello, Mike.
Paul, I was really hoping you'd keep the pastor on because I'd like to ask him how it's possible for Dwayne to simultaneously channel Stephen A. Smith and Ed Orgeron.
Very, very true. A little more on the Stephen A. front with the Cajun accent.
Right. But I have a question for you, Paul. As you'd mentioned in your opening, you know, that on Capitol Hill they are starting hearings, looking into NIL and trying to come to some sort of solution at what currently exists with a lack of standardization across the country. And I understand the need for it. However, one of the biggest concerns is I don't know that that the federal government is capable of solving an issue like this. And I really think they're going to ruin college athletics as we know it. I mean, if you think about how the average law is made, somebody's going to lobby. Well, we already know who the power brokers are, and somebody's going to get left out, and that's going to be the student athlete. Now, you know, historically the student athletes have been left out. That's something they're used to, which is why they're now in the boat they're in, because they fought back against it, you know, through the legal system. But I'm just worried that we're going to end up with the nastiest, funkiest piece of sausage for a law that's going to ruin college of athletics.
No, I think you're all over it. Hey, Mike, thank you very much. Meanwhile, some news out of Tuscaloosa that is completely expected. Brandon Miller saying today that he is leaving Alabama after 1 year to enter his name in the NBA draft. John is up next. Hello, John.
Paul, thank you for having me on the show. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so first, just wanted to, you know, thank you for having me on the show. And like I said earlier, I don't know if John from Florida was me in the bracket, but, you know, got eliminated over the weekend. But, you know, still feels good to be part of the Feinbaum family.
Does it hurt any less, John, that you're not 100% sure it was you?
You know, that's the part that is the most confusing. It just, you know, there's several Johns from Florida. Nobody knows who it is, you know. But I have enough self-image, I'll take the credit for it. So how about that?
And, John, you know what's even more interesting? I don't know which John from Florida it was.
I know. Yeah, it's a mystery. That's part of the tournament. You don't know. You don't know, right? So, Jim, I'm actually completely ignorant to what he said recently, where I guess he said something, because I was actually talking when Jim mentioned about China and stuff like that, and we had the pastor on today. I wanted to tie all that back to General Mueller. This is a man who served in World War I and World War II and who went and fought for our freedom to be able to live in this country and watch college football. And the Bible says a generation is 40 years, and college football has been around for about 120 years. That would be three generations. At the end of the second generation, General Nealon had to go fight to keep college football that we love. We may very well be in a position to where we have to do that right now. And sometimes God will use something as simple as Tennessee Orange or Alabama Crimson to bring people together for a higher cause. You know, someone like Tim Tebow, I'm a Tennessee fan. He's a Gator. On the field, oh, man, I hated going up against him. But the people that Tim Tebow brings to, we'll call it the Feinbaum family, you know, there's a higher calling than just football, you know, because there's a war coming that we're going to have to stick together and really love each other. And I hope you realize, Paul, your show is more than just sports talk. It is a way for us to really keep our country free. And I hope you understand that.
Well, John, I appreciate your call very, very much. And you be well. You take care of yourself. Let's check in with Chris, who is in Texas. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. This is Expired, a.k.a. Chris. And I want to let you know, old Dwayne must be sucking way too many crawfish heads. And it done screwed his brain up. I don't really know. He's in bad shape. Just want to let you know also that Fighting Texas Aggies are going to run roughshod all over LSU once again. And Alabama, yeah, you're starting to become – you are convict, you. I will say this.
Thanks for the call. We're up against the break. Nicole Auerbach will join us. We'll talk about the hearing yesterday in Congress, the women's Final Four, a big topic today, and more of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. A lot of coverage over these next 2 days from here to Dallas, where the women's Final Four set to commence. And that's where we head next. Nicole Auerbach with The Athletic covering it for them, as well as hosting coverage all weekend long for SiriusXM. Nicole, thank you for joining us. Before we get to Dallas, and I know we all want to hear your thoughts on what is about to happen there. I do want to get some thoughts on what happened yesterday in D.C. I know you and everyone else was trying to keep up with it, although it was difficult to watch the House hearing on NIL. Thanks for being here, and tell us your quick observations on that debacle.
Yeah, I think debacle is the right word. It just feels like with some of these things, even the some of the politicians who put out bills, you know, they're just doing this for political points and for posturing. And it seemed like you had multiple Congress people who were more interested in the props that they could bring and the teams that they could shout out than actually learning anything about NIL. So I don't think we really learned anything new. We've had a lot of these hearings over the years, but this is the first since Charlie Baker took over as NCAA president, and also the first with this particular Congress. So was intrigued just to see if there would be anything different. But the sense I just still continue to get is that there's just so many people involved in this on the congressional side who really just do not fundamentally understand how this stuff works. When you have people referring to portals, plural, and the NILs, and just not using the terminology right, it just doesn't get you that jazzed up about these people coming up with some solution that will save the day for college sports.
Yeah, it does seem like we've heard more from the Senate side, where I do believe you have 100 versus, 435, maybe a little more educated. But still, Nicole, the idea of representatives in Washington here at a hearing and not really even understanding what they're talking about, frightening wouldn't be a word I would even waste on Congress. But it just seemed like what was the purpose of it all other than to waste time?
Right. And it wasn't really even about what it was presumably supposed to be about. It was supposed to be about more about NIL. And this isn't a shot at anyone that did speak and shared their perspective. But like, you didn't have anyone representing collectives. You didn't have any current high profile football or men's basketball players or women's basketball players, someone that was commanding a lot of money that could explain how this stuff works. You have a former player who did not go to college during the NIL era, and you have an Olympic sport athlete, which, again, that perspective is important. But if you're talking about protecting athletes in NIL deals, you really need the perspectives from collectives of how they work. And if you're talking about transparency, maybe someone who runs an online marketplace about how they are figuring out deals and the information that they have collected, as well as athletes like directly in the thick of it. And you even had a commissioner of a league that had, that there's no collectives at any of their schools, a Division II president. But these aren't the people that you need if you really want to figure out what protections you should put in place to make sure that a Jaden Rashada situation doesn't happen, or actual bad actors around these athletes. And a lot of the questions veered into conversations about, should athletes be employees? What happens if athletes become employees? What happens to Olympic sports and women's sports? And that really wasn't what this was supposed to be about. So again, it was more about just like hearing themselves talk, or, you know, scoring political points or saying, you know, go Gators. And it really was about learning about how NIL works and how collectives work, and where the problems are. If you're talking about recruiting inducements, what does that look like? How does it work? And then what could you do to fix it? We didn't really get any of that.
Nicole, let me flip over to tomorrow night, because, you know, while the men's Final Four is a collection of misfits and upset winners, the women is different. And we have a matchup tomorrow night in the game between South Carolina and Iowa that is one of the most intriguing. I'll let you fill in the blanks, but you have Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston, and I have never heard this much buzz about a matchup, at least in recent years. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to set records in terms of viewership and interest and all that jazz, because it's the matchup that everyone wanted to have. I mean, I think we all look at the bracket, and certainly Iowa wasn't the number one seed. That was Stanford in this part of the bracket. They get upset, and that sort of, you know, opens the path up. But we all did want to see Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston on the same court. You're looking at two contentious National Player of the Year races the last 2 years, and Aaliyah won last year, Caitlin won this year, and the team storylines are just also so compelling. Last year, Iowa wasn't that good. They lost a lot of games. Now they're winning all of these games. You're seeing Caitlin, not just as a scorer, because obviously we all saw that 40-point triple-double she had in the Elite Eight, which no men or woman tournament player has ever done, but also she's such an elite passer, and I think that's the part I enjoy watching her the most. I just think she's such a wizard, and her vision as a passer is just really incredible. So you have this high-flying offense, this offense that scores a lot on the perimeter, and when you talk to people about how someone could maybe beat South Carolina or push South Carolina to stop them from back-to-back titles, you do have people say maybe it's a team that can shoot lights out from the perimeter. Maybe you're trading threes to go, or you're trading twos for threes, and you're able to stay in a game that way to counter their size, the physicality, the defense, the depth of South Carolina. But it's such a compelling matchup to have a team going for a perfect season, back-to-back titles, known for their defense, and just so, so, so tough, versus a team that, again, has a Caitlin Clark who can score a 40-point triple-double in the NCAA tournament. It's the storylines we all wanted. It's made for TV. You're also seeing all of these ratings every round of the women's tournament going up. And so I think the name recognition, the fact that these are household names, and they have been in some great games over the last couple of weeks, all of that is building towards this. And I'm with you, too. I mean, everyone I've talked to all week in our profession is way more interested and has that game circled than either of the men's semifinals. And it doesn't have to be a competition, but that's something that really has not happened in a long time. And I think it's because Caitlin Clark is the biggest star in college basketball this season, men or women. The name recognition is there. Dawn Staley has been the face of women's basketball for a number of years now. They are the gold standard that everyone chases. These are very digestible things for casual sports fans. And so it's very easy to get into this storylines around Iowa and South Carolina.
Before you go, and we had Kim Mulkey on the other day, and listen, I mean, there is so much controversy that is attached to her. A lot of people have gone after her for countless reasons, other than the fact she's a great basketball coach, and she's proven that. That's another dynamic matchup against Virginia Tech, which is a one seed. First, let's talk about Kim Mulkey for a second, just from your view in the national media. What do you think, and what do you make out of her?
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely a unique character and has been in this sport for a while. I do think, you know, probably some of the stuff that you're alluding to is, you know, the way that she didn't really address Brittany Griner when she was detained and gone and wasn't part of that, like, groundswell of support in the active efforts to try to get, you know, the government to make sure that they could get her home after she was detained. But I think, you know, even when Kim Mulkey says things that bother people or cross a line or, you know, play to her base, it never took away from the fact that she was an excellent basketball coach and obviously has this track record. I think the one surprising piece about what she's doing right now is how soon she's done it. And she's even acknowledged that. Like, she didn't have a blueprint to turn this around in 2 years, to get to a Final Four in 2 years. That's still incredibly hard to do and turn over a roster and all of these different pieces. You still have to hit on the players you're taking out of the portal and get them to build the way that you do. So it is definitely a compelling storyline for a coach of her track record and this quick turnaround that she has orchestrated already in Baton Rouge, going up against a first-time Final Four participant. I mean, again, you couldn't really script this stuff better. These teams all have really compelling stories. And I personally, one other factor about Kim Mulkey is her outfit. Like, I don't know how she's going to top the glitters and the sequins and the feather boas that she's had in the earlier rounds. So she is a lot of things to a lot of different people, but she's absolutely a great basketball coach. And you're seeing that with just how quickly she got this going at LSU.
Nicole, be well. Enjoy the weekend. Of course, Nicole will be hosting coverage on SiriusXM all weekend long. Nicole Arabak joining us from Dallas. Kim Mulkey was asked today about the Griner situation. She said she had not talked to her, but was very pleased that Brittany Griner was doing well and back from Russia. We have a lot more to do. We'll head right back out to Dallas in the next hour with Steffi Sorensen, Alex Scarborough later on some college football matters. And we mentioned the hearing yesterday in D.C. Trey Burton, who played before the NIL era, was one of the witnesses. We'll ask him how surreal that experience was, and your phone calls around the corner.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. And Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to mention something really quick. Is it just me, or has there not been multiple clergymen come out against Jim and the way he's acting? I'm a little bit concerned that if he gets forsaken by his religion, he might start listening to the more violent voices in his head. So that might be a concern there for Jim. I'm a little bit worried about where he might go with that. But what I was going to say, Paul, is the interview with Auerbach, that was really cool. You mentioned something about Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston. They were a huge matchup. I don't usually watch women's basketball, but I'll be watching tomorrow. And does this remind you a little bit about like a Bird Magic Johnson matchup in the tournament, like for men's basketball? You think it's going to live up to the hype?
Well, I mean, it is on that level in terms of the sport. I think the difference is that those two were just so well known outside of the bubble. And I don't think in this case Caitlin Clark is – I mean, she's getting enormous attention this week, but seriously, do you think you could roll a basketball down the center of Times Square and that many people would know who she is?
No, you're right. That's what I was thinking. I don't think it's going to have the impact as somebody like Magic or Bird. But, hey, Paul, I was talking about, or I heard you talking about the NIL in Congress, and you know I'm a big music guy, so a lot of people have hopes that Congress is going to fix this. If you remember back in 1995, members of the band Pearl Jam testified in front of Congress about Ticketmaster and their unfair ticket pricing.
Right.
And the same thing happened. Everybody was just talking about how great of a musician they were. All these senators were, yeah, I'm a great musician myself. They didn't even listen to what they were talking about. And now people are upset. The Taylor Swift debacle, I don't know if you heard about that, but Ticketmaster crashed. They've been charging all these exorbitant fees. And I was like, you know, kids, you got to know your history, man. Pearl Jam tried to stop this, you know, 30 years ago. You know, where were you then? Some of them probably weren't born yet, but I just don't have any hope that Congress is going to fix the NIL. I mean, how do you feel about that?
There's no way they're going to, and I think it's a pathetic cop-out for anyone to lean on Congress. There was a time when you could get something done in Congress, but now it's, calling it political would be, you know, an understatement. It's absurd what happens up there on both sides of the aisle on literally every issue. It almost takes the threat of a world war before you can get both sides to agree on something to come together. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And of course, you shouldn't send Pearl Jam up there. That was the first mistake. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Paul, I hope that as an LSU fan that I come across a little more reasonable and maybe a little more intelligent than Dwayne. To just out and say, you know, we're going to whip A&M, we're going to whip everybody. That's ridiculous. You gotta look at each game and take it one game at a time and. Injuries happen. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong. Do I think that LSU set up for success this year? Absolutely. I think the biggest thing at A&M is if Jimbo Fisher and Petrino actually get along, because I think that thing is, I think it's 50-50. I think it can blow up as well as go right. What's your opinion? And then I wanted to ask you if you believe that Dylan Cruz is the best LSU player you've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, Rick, I think Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino will get along, because they're, anytime there's this much conversation about something, it just puts the internal pressure even higher. And I think what Jimbo Fisher said the other day was just Jimbo not paying attention. Jimbo is like that. He's a much better coach than he is a press conference attendant. Thank you for the call. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. I was wanting to ask, what do you think the most important swing game in Arkansas season is? And I have my own.
What is yours?
Texas A&M.
Yeah, by the way, I think Texas A&M is always the most important game, because it's a 50-50 game. And it's early enough where it sets the tone. This year it comes at a weird time, right after the LSU game. So if Arkansas loses at LSU, then they almost have to beat Texas A&M with Ole Miss on the road and Alabama the next few weeks. The entire season literally could go down in flames if they can't beat A&M. And I think last year was one of the biggest mistakes of Sam Pittman's tenure there. They had that game won. They fumbled going across the goal line. They missed the field goal at the end. There was just no excuse to lose that game. And the season got away. And quite frankly, a lot of skepticism has been occurring ever since. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Dan is in Louisiana.
Thanks, Paul. Paul, I was going to ask you about Virginia Tech and LSU. Who do you like in that game?
I like LSU. I really believe that they are going to play for the championship. Thanks for the call. Matt is in Louisiana. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul, how you been? It's been quite a while since I spoke with you.
Thank you, Matt. Great to hear from you.
Yep. Like I said, it's been a while. Last time we've talked, it was back when Les Miles was at LSU, and we've had some good discussions about that, and I certainly don't want to go back to that. But let's see all the time. Haven't had a chance to get through, but I'm actually calling because I'm a little concerned about you, and hope you're feeling all right. And my reason for thinking that is I can't understand why a man of your intelligence and football acumen is defending Texas A&M, not only against LSU, but just in general. What have they done, and what have they won since they've been in the SEC? And by the way, I know you have – I'm driving right now, and I know you have all these statistics at your fingertips. What is LSU and Texas A&M's record in football in the last 15 years?
Well, based on the directness of the question, I'm guessing it's leaning heavily toward LSU. But as far as what Texas A&M has won, the answer is pretty obvious, not very much. I'm not basing this anything other than on expectations for this year. And the reason why Dwayne and I got into it, he was trashing Jimbo Fisher, and I just happened to remind him that Jimbo Fisher helped get LSU's season off track last year with that big win at the end of the year. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to have you back on the program. We've had a busy one. We'll head back to Dallas in the next hour. More of your phone calls after that.